Once again, we find ourselves back at this table. It's John's Gospel. This is the 17th chapter. It's the end of this farewell discourse that we began, if you remember, a few weeks ago. We started off with John 14. This is the beginning of the discourse that begins with Jesus telling his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." He has already gathered them around for the teachable moment, the washing of the feet. They have eaten their meal together, and he, knowing that this would be the last time in this way they would see him, he began to teach them about the things that matter most. And one of those things is what we hear as eternal life. And he begins it there and he carries it through up into the gospel reading that we just heard. But what I'd like to do today is to kind of hold up this notion of eternal life and look at it, at what it is, what it isn't, and what difference that might make. First, what it isn't. My experience is that we hear these words, eternal life, so often that we don't really hear them anymore, right? It's like we don't have to consider them because they are so often used in church and other places that we kind of lose sight of what they might mean. We associate them with the great hereafter, which is not quite what Jesus in John's gospel is talking about. Because eternal life is not simply the afterlife. Right, life after death. It contains that, but that is just one small understanding of it. It's also not immortality. This is not the case of Benjamin Button, right? Because immortality implies that you are trapped within time, which is different still. Eternal life, as Jesus knows it, is something, it's like we are freed from time and yet still within it. It's something that that we struggle with, and it's understandable why we struggle with this, because we are finite beings, right? We are grounded in our mortality, and so we think in a very linear fashion. We are born, we live, we die. And yet, what the ancients tell us and what cosmologists are also now starting to say is that this sense of time is very much bound to who we are as humans. And there is far more to life than we at first grasp. So you remember when Moses comes to God, again, Moses asks for God's name, and what does God reveal to Moses? That God is the great I am. And if we're reading it in its fullness, God is the great I have been and the great I ever shall be. This is the sense of life eternal that Jesus is trying to share. And I think it's helpful if we get into the text. And I was reminded this week that we often miss what Jesus is talking about because the words, again, they just have lost their their traction. The word for life, Zoe, can also read as breath, the vital spirit, that which animates. So when you hear life, I want you to listen for breath. And the word for eternal, aionios, it can read as constant, abiding, without beginning or end, everlasting. So putting these two notions together, we find things like the constant forever, the eternal now, the never-ceasing breath. This is what Jesus is trying to talk to his disciples about. This is what is true now, forever, before us, behind us. I mean, we often spend a lot of time talking about what will happen after our death. We're pretty invested in that. But we don't spend a lot of time talking about how we came to be. Maybe that's what our parents and our grandparents and our siblings do for us. But I think we get glimpses of what this experience is like. When we are present for new life, when someone is born, when we are able to give or receive love from another person without expecting return. When we suffer for another person. When we're there at the end, when someone is drawing their last breath. These are the moments when we come close to this constant forever, this eternal now. And we get it. This is what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples. You will know. He says, this is eternal life. You will know eternal life when you know God only and true and Jesus Christ whom God has sent. Know. This knowing is not like the knowing where you might know the capitals of the 50 states. This knowing is like the knowing of friendship. The knowing of another person so truly that in the tone of their voice or in the way that they hold silence, you know what is happening. This kind of knowing that Jesus is drawing us into is the kind of knowing that matters to us, that changes us, that is real and true and personal. And so what we find is that eternal life is not, it's not about being saved from something, but eternal life is being drawn into relationship. This eternal now is being drawn into a fullness of being with another, with God. And it's seen in myriad ways. It's known through God's word. It is known through the experiences we have in this world. It is knowing and being known. And it is just stunningly simple, but deeply profound. And it's really hard that this relatedness, that this I am because you are, is the foundation of life itself. It's why I love this reading from Acts today, because Jesus is leaving the disciples, and I know not how, but he is leaving them, and they are rooted, right? They're looking up at the heavens, and I imagine them to be just like mouths agape, stuck. And it takes a couple of people in white robes to say, hey, why are you looking up to heaven? Continue your life here, in the now. And so they go back, they return to Jerusalem, they return to the upper room where they've been, and they are related again, waiting for Jesus, which we'll get to a little bit next week. But this relatedness is not about Jesus as my BFF, right? For those of you who don't know what BFF is, it's social media lingo for best friends forever. And in my world of social media lingo, I just went right up against the wall. That's about all I know. But it's not that, you know, Jesus is my bestie and you can't have him. It's more like Jesus is what friendship is as concept, known, real, concrete, incarnate. And then if this is like, if relatedness is the foundation of all life, what does that mean for how we live? Well, it means that if fundamentally I am related, that even if I find President Trump or his supporters to be repulsive, I cannot swing a bike lock. It means that even if I am moving to the great beyond, I cannot treat this world as if it were a pop-up stage that I could tear down in order to get to the next. It means that if budgets are theological statements, if they express relatedness, then I cannot leave behind an elder or a parent or a child to fend for themselves alone. Friends, whether this breath is your next or your last, always know that it can bring you closer to God, but not on your own.